It's a difficult one. All right. We should be obedient to our spiritual father for spiritual matters or matters that are not spiritual as such, but they can influence us spiritually. Other than that, the easier people can find comfort on us, and the more we respect others, the closer we get to Christ. I am not telling you to rob someone if your friend asks you to, but first, why would you have such friends if you are after spiritual life? Second, you should see in everyone's face Christ, so you cannot hurt anyone if you are asked by someone else. And third, you should create a unifying distance around you. This way, you will have your own boundaries, which will be known and respected from your immediate environment. They will not come to you for gossiping, and they will not ask you to do anything dodgy. Elder Milianos used to talk about this, the unifying distance. So if you want really to have a connection with others, you have to create an atmosphere of respect, and this is a distance. Without it, the familiarity can get us to points that we should never get to. So if you want to truly have a communion in Christ with someone, you need these boundaries. You need this unifying distance. And this is very important to remember. And fourth, avoid tempting situations the way gunpowder should avoid fire. Otherwise, explosions will naturally follow. Okay. I've got three more questions. All right. The one is, should I demand my children to be obedient to me? What do you think? Lots of people have children, I guess, or are about to. Huh? Yes? Yeah, this is a big debate. Mm-hmm. Yes and no?
I think yes and no. You can't expect them to do everything you want, but there are certain things that are important that they should
be obedient to. Okay. So, our children, before becoming teenagers, they need to know who the boss is. It's not tyranny. It's a loving relationship. But only one can be the boss. And this boss will have to be obedient to a number of things, but the parents are the parents. And what do I mean by this? That the parents, sometimes they have to be obedient to the children, but the parents are the parents. They have the responsibility. And they do whatever they do out of love. So the children, one before they become teenagers, they have to listen. Now, when they become teenagers, the fruit of the right upbringing will shine or not. Then the parents are not the boss anymore, literally, because no one cares about what the parents talk about. They are the ones that pray for their children, and may God help us all. So Saint Paisios used to say, that's where I got this from, that before your children become teenagers, do your best, get them close to the church, confession, Holy Communion, everything possible. The first day that they become teenagers, just pray for them. If you try to push them, you will end up with the extreme opposite results. This is why it is so important to start talking about God to our children from a young age. Otherwise, when they become teenagers, we lost the game. And of course, if we did our best and then they become teenagers and they go away, like Saint Nicodemus of Mount Athos says, give me a child for the first 7 years of its life and then don't worry about it. They have inside them the right seeds that on time they will grow. It doesn't matter if they rebel a little bit. It doesn't matter if they go away a little bit. They will come back because they have a conscience. Unless, unless they get involved with drugs. And then it's very, very difficult. And it's not, the conscience doesn't always work after people have experienced some strong drugs. Anybody wants to add anything? Oh. Next question. How much, that's about prayer now. How much and how should I pray when I have a family or a job or I don't have much time, etc.? Any suggestions? It's interesting, I'm asking the questions and I'm answering the questions. All right. So prayer rules are set after talking with our spiritual father. But practicing Jesus' prayer means that you have a spiritual father who practices it too. Otherwise, you are in the wrong specialist's practice. So about how much we pray and when we pray, we talk about it with our spiritual father. But in case someone wants to practice Jesus' prayer, he also needs, or she also needs, a spiritual father who knows about this subject, who practices this subject. If my spiritual father doesn't practice Jesus' prayer, I can't ask him for it. I can't ask advice from him. So when we have not much time, if we can put our heart into the prayer, then these 5 minutes can be more effective than if we had 5 hours of prayer. And when, let's say that there are a few occasions that we pray and we feel this peace, we feel this happiness, we feel this joy, we feel something different. In these times that we feel this special something from God, when we do and if we do, if we are smart at this specific time, we can ask God for something which is important for our spiritual life. And Elder Mileno says that when there are such times and we ask for whatever our heart desires, but it's what our conscience tells us, and not something like make me a millionaire, something like that. When we have special moments of prayer and we ask for something that we spiritually need, God will give it to us. So how much we pray, our spiritual father will tell us. If we want to practice Jesus' prayer, we need a spiritual father that also practices Jesus' prayer. And if we have special moments in our prayer, we should use them. Like ask God then and there, I need this. Take away my anger if that's a problem in the family. Or make me a better person. Or help my children get closer to you. God listens. God listens. And the last question. Should I push my children to pray? That's similar to something we said before, but what do you think? No one knows?
Maybe you should force the habit, but maybe not force the prayer. Or teach the habit.
Yeah. So, huh?
Encourage them.
Yes, correct. So Orthodoxy lays on our freedom, not on rules and obligations. If we give the right example, the children respect and follow it. How can you talk about prayer if you scream at them? How can you talk about prayer if you swear? How can you teach them about prayer when your example cannot convince them that prayer changes people? So, if we want a spiritual life for our families, we have to be the example. And that's the end of the story. We can't ask people, we can't ask of people to be spiritual and ourselves to act as if there is no control in anything. And even if our family doesn't follow our example, this example does not go to waste. I believe that it stays inside us, and on time, it will help us overcome a difficulty. Like, there are adults that they always remember how their mothers were praying every day in front of the icons, and how their mothers were anxious when these children were doing stupid things, but they wouldn't say anything. They would go in front of the icons and tell Panagia, tell Theotokos, that protect my son, protect my daughter. These things, they are not things that someone can forget. And regardless where life finds us a few years down the track, there are things that they are engraved inside us. And they can last for a whole life. And these memories, when we reach rock bottom, they can help us get up. And this is what matters. So the example is what matters, and not pushing anyone. I know of a Chanta who had a number of sons, 5, 7, I can't remember how many. And he was getting them every Sunday with him to church from very early until the end of the service. He was enjoying his chanting. The kids, they grew up. None of them wants to hear about church. He keeps chanting, but his sons, they don't want to hear about church. They live their lives, and they are all over the place, in a very bad way, some of them. So pushing them, it's not always the best solution. And just a couple of days ago, a father called me and he said, tomorrow I want to bring my family to the church because it's St. John's celebration, the monastery celebration. And then the next day we fly for Europe. So I wanted us to have a blessed day. And my son all of a sudden wants to go to school to say goodbye to his friends. They couldn't convince him. He was a very young kid. And they didn't know what to do. Both parents, they were like, they didn't know what to do. And they asked me, and I said, you can only suggest what's right and then just pray and for the best. So they did that. And the morning when the son woke up, he said, oh, maybe I'll come with you to the church. If they were to push him, he would have gone to the church, but he would have been so disappointed from this force, from this pressure, that it wouldn't have worked in a positive way. And then again, he could have not come to the church. But I believe that for those kids that they have a conscience, it would have worked in a positive way, not going to the church, because his conscience would have told him, I should have gone to the church. And that's what matters, not just going to the church once or twice. All right, I said too much. If you have any questions other than mine. It's not good if I have the questions and I answer them, because then no questions? That's good.
Maybe I'll break the ice.
Okay.
Could you tell us just a little bit more on what Elder Milianos was saying about that healthy distance, or that, how do you call it? Unifying
distance.
Yeah.
So what was very impressive about Elder Milianos was that his whole presence was as if he was a prince. And I will explain this. He would always look proper with clean clothes and like presentable. And I don't know if you've heard of Elder Ephrem Katunakiotis. He's another contemporary elder who passed away, and he's a saint. So when Elder Milianos went to him the first time, Elder Ephrem, who was an ascetic, he was living in the desert, he saw him dressed like an archimandrite, I would say, and he thought, oh, he wouldn't have any idea about God. But then he said to himself, how about if I go and pray for a minute before I judge the person? So he went and prayed, and God gave him the information that in Yerdes Emilianos' face, he was to found a second Joseph the Hesychast, who was his elder. That's how great Elder Emilianos was. So what I'm trying to say is that his presence would inspire your respect. Respect in a way that you couldn't say a stupid joke to him. Not because you wouldn't say a joke, but you wouldn't say a joke that it would make you embarrassed. You had this respect. His presence was so respectful that you couldn't just joke around. And you could never tell him bad things about others. Like, not if these were your thoughts and you were confessing them, but if you were with the intention to gossip someone, because you would not find him assisting you with that. So if our presence is such that we inspire respect, because you can't force someone to respect you, you either inspire it or you don't, then this respect is the boundaries around us that they secure us from the easy falls. First of all, we have to respect ourselves. Otherwise, we can't inspire others to respect us. But, for example, when someone doesn't talk all the time, but talks when he should and says what he should say, others know that they cannot make this person judge someone. And they respect that. And that's a boundary, that's a distance, which unifies these people. Because the sins, they don't unify people. They divide the people within themselves and with others. They create a distance with others. Because wherever the sin gets involved, the tempter gets there, and then there is a split personality problem. And this... Yes, yes. So if we're not such people, people will understand it and they will not tempt us with such temptations. And this distance unifies us with others through God. It's a concept that me, myself, being in Simonopetra, I knew the presence of Yerod and the respect and everything, but phrased like as I said it, I heard it afterwards, like this year, from a video that someone did, and Elder Eliseus was talking, the abbot who is there now, was talking about Elder Milianos. And the reporter, who was a spiritual child of Elder Milianos, talked about the unifying distance. And it made sense all of a sudden, although I never heard this phrase. It made sense because this was what he was all about. You had no chance, no possibility other than respecting him, because he would inspire this distance which would unify you with him and with God. So, yeah.
Yeah, and what could you suggest to someone who would say to you, I understand what's right, but sometimes the peer pressure...
The what?
The pressure from the people around me is so strong, especially nowadays, and for the younger people and the teenagers. Sometimes it's either I cannot resist, or I will find myself being exostracized, how it's called.
Out.
Being out, yes.
Yes. that's when everything else has to work. And what I mean by everything else, the way that this person was brought up. If this person has an inner spiritual life, if this person loves God, if this person takes his salvation seriously, and if this person does, then you keep a distance from the people that they don't help you spiritually, and you don't do something that you think twice before doing something that you know that will separate you from God. So the pressure is always there, the temptations will always be there, but eventually we need to learn how to avoid the temptations and also overcome them.